For today's episode, we will cover circadian rhythms. This is a huge concern in our society. Autism or not. We will cover effective protocols to set the circadian clock, the circadian rhythm. Remember, this is a two-part process, light and dark. With autism, essentially, every autistic has problems with circadian rhythms. But first, a message about Daylight Computer Company, very relevant for today's episode. I would like to take a moment and mention a pressing issue we are seeing in our modern world. And that is tech use and tech light. The data are impressive and concerning on isolated wavelengths of light, especially shorter wavelengths, which is blue light. For those that don't know, we have chromophores, which are special proteins that absorbs specific wavelengths of light. For blue light, the light that is LED light and tech light, that protein is called melanopsin. Melanopsin is responsible for our circadian biology, physiology and cell functioning, hormone regulation, and even a connection to an area huge for mood. A consideration we should include is this protein was not even discovered until 1998. It seems important for us to understand how our biology uses the different wavelengths of light for various aspects of our biology. This blue light chromophore is our master controller, our master clock. Remember, circadian rhythm is a two-part process, two independent parts, light and dark. For a quick reference, see, the 2017 Nobel Prize in Physiology and Medicine. But for now, I have something exciting. I want to introduce a product unlike any other product available. A highlight is the product from Daylight Computer Company created their product based on these factors. The Daylight Computer is completely blue light free. It has no flicker. Short wavelength flicker is extremely harmful for our eyes and downstream biology. Light flicker is constantly turning our central nervous system on and off. Essentially, it is like going to a light switch and repeatedly turning it on and off. The problem is, blue light and LED light does this. And it is so rapid, you cannot even perceive this in real time. The Daylight Computer is the lowest stimulation and foremost for sensory sensitive users. It is no question that the alternative product, especially when used at night, do not address or consider this in their product. It is so toxic to human biology. Big tech corporations have patents on how their short wavelength implicate the human nervous system. And a bonus, despite Daylight Computer not having backlight, it is very functional for outdoor use. And of course, increased sunlight is always preferred. I am happy to offer a discount for the Daylight Computer. You can use the code AUTISM for a $25 off coupon. Again, use the code AUTISM and the discount code for $25 off. See the link in the show notes to Daylight Computer Company or just give it a quick search in your internet browser. Use the code AUTISM for $25 off. Remember, autism is also two major regions of interest. One is a lack of biological energy. This is mostly through development. And two, improper clock timing of our physiology. Remember this pressing question. What do you think light is? Remember, we are only 100 to 130 years or so into artificial light. So we will cover more on how light interacts with biology. The good news is, it is simple. The bad news is, you will find it hard to change your behaviors. Humans like, we prefer, comfort. We like habits. We've covered this with human behavior, human neuroplasticity. In some ways, light, certain wavelengths, are responsible for this. Let's review this. Sunlight, our source of natural light, is 280 nanometer to 3100 nanometer wavelengths. And a quick recap, UVB is 280 to 315. UVA is 315 to roughly 380. Sometimes you will see it go up to 400. And that starts the visible light spectrums, the rainbows, from blue all the way to red light. This is 380 nanometer to 760 nanometer light. And after that, you have the near infrared and then the far infrared and so forth, all the way out to 3100 nanometer light. Artificial light is isolated wavelengths. And newer, modern light is the shorter and stronger wavelengths of light. And the more isolated light ranges, the light wavelengths. For instance, incandescent bulbs are roughly 500 nanometer light all the way past to 760 red light. It goes into the near and far infrared light. However, LED and tech light, very bad. This is roughly 400 to 600 nanometer light, and it has a high peak at 480 nanometer light. This is very short and strong, isolated wavelength. And remember chromophores. Remember melanopsin. Melanopsin wasn't discovered until 1998. This light sensing frog skin in our eye, essentially, and now found across the body. Yes, frog skin. See Iggy Provencio from UVA, not the wavelength, not UVA wavelength, but the University of Virginia. He studies this. He discovered melanopsin. Melanopsin sets our circadian clocks, our circadian rhythms, and it is a blue light absorbing protein, a chromophore. Remember, chromophore is a light carrier, or a carrier of light. That is the translation of chromophore. This sets our physiology. This sets everything. Our neurotransmitters, neuromodulators, hormones, our tissues and organs, every cell and so forth. See, the 2017 Nobel Prize for Physiology or Medicine. So much autism research shows data on all or some of these components. Today, humans are suffocated in this light wavelength
especially the modern LED and tech light and so forth. It is not working. We see objective data. We can see this. And we do nothing. We are clueless about this. We remain clueless. And two things here. The lack of full spectrum during the day, the full spectrum sunlight that we just reviewed. And we are now able to extend the day with artificial light at night. Remember, humans evolved with mostly the moon as a source of light at night. Vastly, very vast differences than modern light. For those that say, hang on, candles and fire. Good, that's still vastly different, however. Let's go to this environment and how it implicates the mother and all of these known biomarkers, and what this means to the placenta, the womb, embryogenesis, and the living organism developing in utero. Artificial light, especially 1893, to most of the world, and autism in multiple parts of the world, in the mid-1930s, from Leo Kanner at Johns Hopkins and Hans Asperger in Vienna, different parts of the world. And it fits the generational link, that generational requirement. Remember the families of the Kanner kids. They were exposed to this from the start. They were wealthy and capable of equipping their homes, their environments. And they worked indoors, even the mothers, the fathers. They worked indoors under these artificial lights. And remember the Amish. Hard comparison for the Amish here. People want to highlight the differences in vax schedules and their culture, the use of medical paradigms and so forth, or the lack of use of the medical paradigms. But their environment today mimics ours, the modern world in these early 1900s. Their today environment is similar to ours 130 years ago. Huge miss in society, in my opinion. Another question is, how many have any consideration that the Amish low rates of autism is because they have less of a modern world? And here are some things to consider. Let's normalize this, and we should. It is true that they do not necessarily pursue centralized medical care. And two, their children are not forced into environments that could really bring these phenotypes out. Examples of this include the classrooms, the school day, the social interactions, and the social norms. And this is similar from ADHD as well. Centralized school day and the classrooms predates the rates of autism and ADHD. In other words, being forced into these environments and sustaining that, enduring these environments, it's very bad. Many contrast to these types of phenotypes. And I said that at the end of the understanding The Origins of Autism, Part 2 episode, when we covered Asperger's, one thing that really highlights these different phenotypes is these new environments that we are indoors and forced into certain rules and structures. If we consider all of those factors, normalize the data sets, the comparison, the Amish will still have less rates. And this is because their environments, day and night, two big things there. Their environments, day and night, are similar to human environments 100 to 150 years ago. It is this simple. But people will not consider that people want to self-serve their bias. I want to normalize the data sets, the comparison groups, make that prediction. And I think it would come true. No type 1 error, or false positive, or no type 2 errors, false negatives, and so forth. But the people that just claim and say Amish have fewer rates because the vax schedule, there's going to be some truth to that. But there's going to be some false, some errors in that. So anyway, the day. Actionable protocols to set our circadian rhythm. Autistic or not. Chronologically, through the day. So immediately upon waking. But first, remember, and probably something else overlooked, shift work. This is new and absolutely no good for human biology, no good for our health, our well-being, and so forth. So immediately after waking, you need the sunlight within 1 hour after waking at worst. The sooner after waking, the better. The more severe the autism, the more time you need outside. You should get at least 15 minutes at minimum. This sends a signal via the melanopsin to the SCN, the suprachiasmatic nucleus, which remember is a monosynaptic connection. Melanopsin to the SCN is a direct monosynaptic connection. This, undisputed, tells us this connection is super important. That should be a hard stop and time for you to reflect on that. The SCN is our master clock. The example given is, if you use maps or a GPS device on your phone for directions, if the maps is not running faster than you are on the land while traveling, it will not tell you where to go in time. It will be delayed and you will miss a turn, miss your direction, miss your destination. You will get lost and have to detour. The GPS must be faster than you, than the movement on Earth. And this 15 minutes being outside will tell the hypothalamus, which is where the SCN is. It tells the hypothalamus to reach out to the pineal gland to start releasing melatonin 16 hours from this time. So hard stop here. The 16 hours will come whenever your hypothalamus is registering its day. This is why the sun is the best source, the only true source, unless you buy specialized equipment like chroma light devices and so forth to supplement this power and the wavelengths. Now, normal artificial light can do this. It does do this, but it is delayed. It is not as efficient. It takes more time to register. Oh, it's daytime. So think about it. If it takes an extra 1 to 2 hours to register this, that melatonin is delayed on the back end of your day. And this is no good. Maybe you've been up for 2-3 hours and you're not getting enough power from the light source. So you are delaying melatonin 16 hours on top of that 2 to 3 hours that it's registering. So you might go 20 hours before that melatonin release. Morning sunlight is not only the most important thing for today's episode, it is the most important thing for humans' daily activity. Morning sun is mostly red light. For outside resources, see these names: Samir Hattar, Dave Pearson, Michael Dew, Jack Cruz, Sean Kane, The Huberman Podcast, and Roger Schulholt. They do excellent work on this topic. And also, Iggy Provencio. Don't want to forget Iggy. This morning sun is crucial for timing, efficiency of our physiology, hormones, cells, mitochondria matrix, specifically the TCA cycle. Do you know that can run catabolic or anabolic? I'd like to take a quick break to talk about chroma light devices, very relevant for today's episode. Chroma, a Seattle-based innovator founded by ex-NASA and Air Force engineer Michael Shapiro, is on a mission to enhance physical and mental health with purpose-built devices, unlocking peak human health, cognitive function, and performance. Shapiro launched Chroma to restore the natural light lost to screens in indoor living and delivers faster recovery, sharper minds, and better sleep. Their products hit hard. The Iron Forge speeds muscle repair with red and near-infrared light, while the Skylight mimics sunlight to boost sleep and energy. A standout, the Forge Lamp, is a portable gem that fires 660 nanometer and 850 nanometer light to energize mitochondria and heal tissues on the go. Remember the four red light chromophores on cytochrome C oxidase, frequently talked about in the podcast. This is why. Their products are built with military grade durability that have lasting impact. Chroma's tech fuses precision and power. Gallium titride power supplies, smaller, cooler, and stronger than silicone, provide flicker-free light that's easy on the eyes. High-powered LEDs target key wavelengths for skin, tissue, and cellular health with smart heat management for the lasting impact. Every design decision Chroma makes serves a purpose: to create devices that are precise, durable, and effective for improving human life. Remember, humans use different wavelengths of light for different functions of life. Remember when I ask, what do you think light is? Chroma designs with our biology in mind, from sleep aids and wound healing to mitochondrial energy, full body lights and blue light blocking glasses. They are US made and Chroma ships globally and accepts FSA and HSA payments. Use autism at checkout for a 10% off discount. That's autism at checkout for a 10% off discount. The next protocol is maximizing midday sunlight. The sun spectrum shifts during the day. Midday is obviously when UV gets stronger. If you get morning sun, you will be fine. For the midday sun, you need the UV light wavelengths. Remember, some chromophores absorb 200 nanometer to 400 nanometer light. The more sunlight you get, the longer you live. It's undisputed. If you can only get 20 minutes, get the 20 minutes. But ask yourself, why can I only get 20 minutes? And maybe a better question is, am I sure I can only get 20 minutes? Get more. The more you get, the healthier and longer the life. Block the sun from your favorite flower, and what happens? Or a tree. It is this much of an equal comparison. Those plants, the trees, the flowers, etc., won't live as long. They will not be healthy. Sad thing is, you can understand this. But as soon as we put human life into this equation, this comparison, most think we are different. Not true. Simply not true. Get as much as possible. Evening sun. Evening sun is similar to the morning sun, whereby it is mostly red light. The low angle sunlight coming down on the horizon. The horizon will tell you that the brain, it is getting close to day's end. Now, a cool little thing that you can discover here, you can go out and see for yourself. With the right horizon, you need a flat horizon. In the morning, just before the sun comes up over the horizon, and in the evening, just as the sun goes down over the horizon, there's roughly maybe 5 minutes or so, 5 to 10 minutes, 10 minutes tops, that you can see in the sky, the visible light spectrum. And it's in reverse. The red light will be just over the horizon, and then it will work all the way up to the blue, kind of even violet light sometimes. You can see the rainbow throughout the sky. Now, green is harder to see, but if you see a real representation of the visible light wavelengths, green is very small. So in the sky, green is going to be hard to find, but it is there. So with these three different times of day, if I had to rate the three, I would have to force myself into saying the important goes in order. This is the order of importance. One is morning sun. Two is midday. Three is the evening sun. Okay, sun is down, but you are still up. This is a big problem. Common in all households or employments, all lifestyles. So artificial light, a big, big problem. But we can minimize the implications. One, no overhead light. Remember, we just trained ourselves with the low angle sunlight. The sun is going down. It's day's end. Remember, training ourselves in the morning. We don't want to continue that overhead light and delay that melatonin. This is the day's end, so no overhead light. Now, if it's right after dark, right after the sunset, and you maybe have 4 or 5 hours left of your day, the first part of that, the first couple of hours, it won't hurt you too bad. So yes, 100%, the overhead indoor light prolongs this. The brain is still registering daylight. The overhead light at night will destroy your circadian rhythm because of this. Table lamps are better. Floor lamps, and not the extended lamps that's about head level, about 5 to 6 feet tall. Normal table lamps, but on the floor, are even better. The closer to bedtime, 1 to 2 hours, as little light as possible. You start to taper down the light exposure. You should prepare for bedtime, transitioning into dark. Okay, the types of light are also crucial. The best are candles and fireplaces. The next best are red light, and then incandescent bulbs. So just imagine right now, you're exposed to different types of light at night. Maybe it's overhead. Maybe it's still the LED lights. Or maybe it's tech light. How many people are exposed to a device or cell phone, TVs, and so forth? This is a huge problem, overlooked problem with modern health. This is probably the number one issue. That is why the Daylight Computer Company is so advanced, so ahead of their time. It is the only product that can help this. And it helps it by not touching this biology that we're talking about. It will not interfere with it. So remember, a big takeaway here, an actionable tool that has awesome benefits, is transitioning into reducing the overhead light and the amount and the intensity of the light, the types of light. This is an easy fix. Lastly, make bedtime, the sleep time, as dark as possible. No lights on at night during sleeping. This is non-negotiable. Your health will be so implicated with you having light on during sleep. This is so bad. The data are so impressive on just how much it interferes with human biology, especially cancer. And in case you don't know, the cause of autism, the rates of autism, is all over this episode today. What avoiding these practices will do for the mother, maternal, or future mother is in the origins of autism. We'll see. If you're listening to the podcast, listening to the episode, please feel free to leave a review or rating. In podcasting, reviews, ratings, and downloads are huge, and I very much appreciate your feedback. We have 5 stars on Apple Podcast. Very proud of that. You can catch me on X at RPS47586. We can always, I'm always open to having conversations about autism. Please feel free to reach out. I love the discussion of autism. You can check out the YouTube channel, where you can see the full-length videos and shorts and clips. You can check out the Hop link for links to all of the shows across different platforms. You can email me, info.fromthespectrum@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to From the Spectrum Podcast.